Love that song. It's a great song. We do have a good Father, don't we? It's amazing to sing songs to Him and just praise Him and honor Him. And we've been talking about God a lot. Hopefully you've realized that at the start of the year, January and February. Really, all of our messages were really trying to be God-focused. You know, yes, our theme is faithful together, and we believe wholeheartedly. Those two words mean a lot in our culture today, in our time. We need that. We need faithfulness, and we need to be together in a time where it seems like every minute is trying to divide us. But we, again, as we've said, we didn't want to just jump into what we need to do. What do we need to do to prove ourselves to be faithful? It was, let's start with God. Who is God? How has God shown His faithfulness to us? And who is He? He is El Shaddai. He's Lord Almighty. He's God is our peace. We've talked about that. He's Jehovah Jireh. He provides. I mean, this is who God is. And the more we just sit in that and praise Him and think about that, we can respond faithfully. And that's what we felt was the need, quite honestly. And so today, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about kind of like what's been mentioned, just this concept of what does it mean to be God's family? And one of the things we were trying to figure out how to do this, and we have a group that meets to try to figure out what are we going to preach about. We don't just make it up the night before, just so you know, okay? And so we were meeting, and the good brother Chase was like, you know, I think we should really talk about what it means to be the family of God. And, you know, when you're in a meeting and you bring up something, a lot of times you get tasked with making that happen, you know what I'm saying? Oh, great idea, Chase. Why don't you come back and share what your ideas are about this series, you know? And so Chase went to work and really put together some thoughts and kind of outlined things. And so here I am. It was my turn to preach. And I'm like, well, the dude that created the series is Chase, at least the outline, right? I think it would be good to hear from him, right? You know what I mean? And not just me sitting up here speaking all the time. And Chase was gracious enough to be willing to dive in as we talk about the family of God. And we're socially distanced, by the way, okay? Right, for those of you at home, are they really 6 feet apart? Yes, we are. And we figured we'd try something different. We don't have to have one dude up here speaking all the time, right? So we might have a little back and forth.
We're trying to be faithful together.
We're trying to do it together.
And so this is the way.
And there it is.
That we can do it.
There it is.
You know what I'm saying?
Bam, bam, there it is.
Because, I mean, when you think about the fact that we are the body of Christ, we're a united family in a very divided world.
Yes.
And I think it's very clear to see that while unity is something that we always aspire to, we preach about it, we talk about it, we try to do small groups, like we care deeply about it, but it's hard.
Yeah.
Like it really is when people come from so many different places and backgrounds and cultures, and we celebrate our diversity here at North River, I mean, as we should, but with that comes a lot of challenges, you know, and I think it's important that we look at what does it really mean to be faithful together? How can we actually be together? It can't just be something that we say we are and that we talk about as like, hey, look at us, we're diverse, but are we really living it out?
You know
what I mean? And obviously, we need to look at the scriptures to see what do the scriptures say about this.
Right.
And something for me that I've learned recently, and, you know, big shout out to Bible Project. They have a 10-part series on the family of God. It's a podcast series, a lot of great material that we're drawing on today. But, you know, just when you think about the scriptures and the overall story of the Bible, I've learned recently just how foundational those opening chapters of the scriptures are. Is particularly Genesis 1 through 11 and into 12. Like you see, that paves the way and sets the tone for basically the entire biblical narrative. And I know when I was growing up, you know, you think about, oh, the Old Testament, you know, and we're in the New Testament, New Covenant. This is something that we're in now. That's kind of old and not relevant. But as we can see, I mean, Jesus came to fulfill and continue God's story.
Right.
You know, that was starting right in the beginning. With Genesis 1.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about?
And when I was in first in the ministry, this guy, Andy Fleming, he was like a teacher in the church. And so he put a series together, and it was called Foundations of the Faith. And he, his the whole thing was, if you understand Genesis, you will understand the whole story of the Bible. If you can focus there, then you can get the big picture, the contours of what God's been trying to do. And so, and even think about this. So Jesus is in his contemporary world. He gets asked a question. And they're trying to kind of trick him, you know, a little bit. But they ask him a question, right? It happens to be about divorce, whatever, Matthew 19. But the point is, they ask him the question. And what does he say? He says, you know, what does it say in Genesis? And so sometimes we think all our issues are so complicated and complex. Well, what does the New Testament say? It's interesting that even Jesus goes, yeah, that is a relevant issue. It should be discussed. But in order to, to build a foundation for this discussion, let's go back to see what it says in the beginning, you know? And so I think that is a hermeneutic, if you want to call it, a way to interpret the Bible that we can employ, you know, as we try to figure this
It's amazing how the New Testament passages just come to life in a whole new way when you really understand how they're interacting with those Old Testament passages.
Right.
And so, you know, when you think about the very beginning of human existence, right, you think about why are we here on this planet? You know, you think about Genesis chapter 1. And this scripture is so foundational. It says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. It's incredible to think about that this is God's vision for humanity.
Yeah.
That this is what he set out to do, specific goal, specific purpose, to be the image of God. That we would be his representatives.
Right.
And that we would partner with him. Like we see this partnership right off the bat, that he created us and gave this amazing task to rule with him, the supreme being, creator, Alpha and Omega. But he's like, I want these humans, my humanity, to be my image and to partner with me. And then it's so cool when you zoom in on this poem in verse 27. He created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. It's one humanity.
Right.
It's not this different, separated, fractured, some people over here, some people over there, coming from different places. No, it's one humanity. But then you also see that it's not the same. It's not homogeneous, right? That it's male and female. So you have this diversity in the unity.
Right.
And you can't have one without the other. Like, you're not the representative of God by yourself. Right? Like that's God's plan, is that he created one humanity, but it had distinct parts to it.
Right.
That were together to complete the picture.
Right? Sounds like the body of Christ in the New Testament.
Sounds like the body of Christ. One body, many parts.
Wow.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's like when you listen to the world story, you don't necessarily think in these terms, right? Like when you think there's one humanity, like it's so easy for us as humans to start to think about the other, those other people over there. And that's been the problem with human existence for so long, is we don't look at each other and see that we're the same, that we're one humanity together.
Yeah.
But that was God's plan from the start. And then we know that, unfortunately, very quickly, it starts to unravel.
Well, people are good at unraveling what God put together.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I don't ever do stuff like
this.
No.
I mean, actually, we have a pretty good relationship.
Yeah,
we
do.
I'm good for that. But, you see, as soon as sin enters the world, that people start hiding themselves from each other. They don't trust each other. There's blame shifting. They're like, you're different from me, so I have to cover myself.
Yeah.
Even though before, it was like, it was all good. We're vulnerable. We trust each other. But now, sin enters the world, and it starts to fall apart. And then they have kids, and that doesn't go
well.
Yeah. Sibling rivalry. And now, instead of just being happy that your brother, you know, got favor and did something really good, there's jealousy, right? There's envy, and there's murder. Like one of the first stories in the Bible about human relationships is about murder.
It's like, Chase, I mean, it's so clear. We've got to see the image of God in one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if we fail in that way, if we other the other,
exactly,
instead of love one another,
mm-hmm,
that's exactly what we get. It's not overly complicated in a way.
Right. No, it's simple, but yet we don't get it.
It's so hard to
get it. We don't get it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, it moves on, right? Cain has a son, this guy Lamech that we don't really look at, but basically he's murdering people and he's bragging about it.
He's got issues.
That's some serious issues. And then we keep going. When you look at the Noah narrative, right, that we talk about, one of the things that I've missed a lot is that the earth is full of violence. Right, he says, fill the earth and subdue it, be the image of God, right? Co-rule with God, be his partner, and fill the earth. But now they're filling the earth with violence. And man, when you look at the history of mankind, is it not a history of violence, right? So oftentimes, and that's the opposite of unity. Right? That's the opposite of being together, is to say, I want something that you want, that you have, I'm gonna take it from you, I'm gonna take your life so that I could have it. It's dominating. And it's the opposite of God's plan.
Yeah.
And it's just this tragic story, and it shows the unraveling of human relationships, right? That God created it to be something so incredible, but then sin enters, we turn our backs on God, we take matters into our own hands, we want to be wise in our own eyes, and we forget that it's about Him.
Yeah.
That it's the image of God.
Yeah.
That we're part of His story. And when we lose sight of that, when we start thinking about ourselves, we start thinking about other people, we just lose sight of that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, basically the next story, after you read about Noah, you read about this mysterious Tower of Babel.
Surely this story has no relevance today, Chase.
Surely not.
It's just a weird...
It's so long ago.
It's so long ago. It's just some weird story.
We're so much smarter now.
We're smarter. We're way more advanced than these people.
I would think so.
Right?
That's
what
everyone says.
Their issues are not our issues.
We're better.
We're better.
Better.
Why even talk about this stuff?
That's a good question.
No. Obviously, if we're talking about the family of God and how to be that, how can we do that together? We have to understand, yes, we are made in His image. We have to treat one another that way. We can't mm-hmm. other one another. We got to love one another. And that is huge.
Absolutely.
Foundational. And if we don't get it, we're in trouble. Okay? You've already talked about the progression.
Mm-hmm.
The progression just got worse and worse in the story of Genesis. And you just think how much God's heart was breaking through it all.
Mm.
By his plan for people. Just heart being broken over and over. He wants his image bearers just literally multiplying all over, and all they're doing is killing each other to the point where he has to make a decision. Like, this is not going in the right direction, right? And thank goodness somebody was listening. Thank goodness Noah was willing to listen.
Noah.
My goodness. And God's graciousness to allow mankind to still live, or humankind to still live. And then we get to this odd story about some tower, right? But I think there's some things that we can learn, right? Verse 1 of chapter 11. The whole earth had one language and the same words. Mm. Now right there, that's, wow.
That's interesting.
And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, you know what, Chase, let's go make some bricks.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. Let's burn them thoroughly. We got some new technology to figure that out, right? Mm. And so they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves.
Mm.
Otherwise, we'll be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Mm. As if that were a bad idea. As if that wasn't what God said he wanted done, right?
Fill the earth.
Fill the earth. What can we learn, guys? You know, this isn't some random story. First of all, they share a common language, but do you notice there's no mention of God? There was no mention of God in anything. In those verses I just read you, God was not mentioned. Okay? Think about that. They chose to settle in one place instead of accepting God's desire for his image bearers to scatter all over the creation. God had a plan for them. They chose to go a different direction. Settling in one place is about as opposite you can get of filling the earth. Go in, subdue it, right? Then they have this whole issue. Some people say they created the technology, they whatever it is. But look at what they were trying to do. They're trying to build this city and this tower to reach to the heavens as if they're crossing this boundary into God's space, so to speak. But they're not even, they're, instead of bearing his image in the space God gave them. Deal with what you're supposed to deal with, people. You're supposed to do it, be me down here. Don't worry about what's going on up there. That's not, why are you crossing boundaries? You're not supposed to be crossing. That's what people do. Yeah. That's what people do. And then they dedicate themselves. This isn't going to take 5 minutes to do. I mean, this is a big plan. They're finding fame, meaning, significance. That's what that whole phrase is. Let us make for a name for ourselves. I need meaning in my life. I mean, let's do something great. But again, it's not great for God. It's not great to bear his, it's for ourselves. But they try to do it outside of what God's given them.
And it's like you read the beginning and it sounds good. It's like, hey, they're unified. Like, hey, they're one.
Right.
You know, that's great. And then like, okay, they have this technology. Like it's a tool
right. That's
useful.
Yeah.
And then it's like still, okay, they want to build a huge tower. Like, okay. But then they want to make a name for themselves.
For themselves.
Yeah, and then it's like,
Self versus attempt. God.
Exactly.
Man, we got to die to ourselves, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
What's the turning point of the story, though? If you're a Bible nerd, this is a chiasm. Sorry, whatever. And the middle part of a chiasm is the point, right? That's the thing that you're supposed to get. It's a literary device. We have poems that rhyme at the end, and wow, that gets us. Well, they did things differently, right? They would create structure in their stories, and the middle part of the story was what you're supposed to really focus in on, kind of thing. So the turning point of this story is when the Lord came down to see the city. So now God's in the mix, right? And the way it's written in the Hebrew, it's actually kind of making fun of them a little bit. That's what some scholars say. It's like, here, you're trying to build a tower all the way up to the heavens. God got to come. He came fine. He got to come down and see it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not all that great. You know, you thought you'd done something great. God got to come down to see your incredible tower, right? And as if he couldn't see it in the first place, right? It's just, you know. So he's trying to see with these mere mortals. These mere mortals. And again, the word it's used supposedly kind of stresses that frailty. They think they're doing this great stuff, but God got to come down and find this so-called great thing. So this is the turning point because God enters the story. And now what? How's God going to respond to this? You know, what in the world? It's like when your kid's done taking all the, you know, stuff and painted all over your walls or something. You're like, oh, no, what are you going to do, right? The Lord's like, look, they are one people. They have all one language. This is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. That's what you're getting at.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. This isn't a necessarily negative phrase.
Right.
God's not, I mean, this is something that we should see today. The potential.
Exactly.
When we choose to do things together, God notices that. And he comments on that. That when people choose to do something together, it can be very powerful.
And then that was the plan in Genesis 1, right?
That's the plan.
Yeah.
That was the plan. They strayed from the plan. So then it's come, let us go down. You can see the chiasm stuff because they said earlier, come, let us build. Come, let's go down, right? And confuse their language there so that they will not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, it was called Babel, Because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. God's will gonna be done. Mm-hmm. You can fight it, but you're gonna have a lot. What a waste. Mm. God's will be done.
That's right.
If we're smart, we might want to partner with him as he chose early and gave us that vision and live our lives out in his will. Or else we building stuff, wasting time, wasting energy, and just leave the tower there. Isn't there a story in the Bible about building a tower, and if you don't finish it, you'll get ridiculed? And
I think
Jesus might have mentioned something like that. What lessons can we learn from this tower? Right? Again, it's not just a random story that has no bearing. First of all, God is patient. If that were you or me, we might have just gone out and the scripture could have, and God tore down the tower, right?
Destroyed them all.
Took their noses and rubbed it in there. You know, this is what happens when you, that's sometimes how we can be. Just look how measured God is. Just, okay. Man, and even like, wow, they have a lot of potential.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's so patient, right? He's so patient. God desires that you and I, that we seek the meaning and significance, you know, in his will, right, for our lives. That's what we're supposed to do. That's how we're supposed to live this life.
Because who are we the image of?
We are the image of God.
That's where it comes from.
That's where it comes from. And that's where our shalom comes from. Mm. When we are, God is our peace, when we are in harmony with him, living our lives in his will, then we can give it to the rest of the world. That's the plan. But when we start thinking, oh, it's about me, it's about what I want, oh, let's do this in our name, we get in trouble. You know, God cares about what we're building and why, who we're building for, and who we're building with. I really think that's the lesson that we need to figure out from this story. And I present it to you, honestly, and I hope you can talk about it. I hope you talk about it in your small groups at the end of the day. Because again, we're talking about what does it look like to be the family of God. I hope you care about building God's church. Mm. I hope you care about that, okay? That's our current language for filling the earth with his will, his reign, right? He wants to reign over human hearts, right? The kingdom of God. I hope you care about how God's kingdom is able to spread over this world. I hope you care about that. I hope that's what you're building. And I hope you're building it for a name for him, to bring honor to him, right? And who are you building for, right? I mean, I think some of us, I get nervous.
Really?
Yeah, because I think some of us are, we got our eyes off the ball spiritually, bro. I already know half the stuff I say, half the people are going to get upset with me. So why, you know?
Don't stop now.
I'm not going to stop now, right? You know what I mean? I'll get my emails or whatever later, but I'm not going to just give you little milquetoast sermons. I mean, at the end of the day, some people are taking our eye off the ball. Mm. And we're fighting for civic organizations more than God. Mm. And then we're trying to cherry pick certain things they believe, baptize them as if that's the way to live life. And then the other people on the other side, like they have no image of God. They just crazy or stupid. Oof. And post a bunch of craziness. Mm. People not wanting to come to church because somebody over there sitting next to them believes something else about something that don't even matter at the end of the day. Mm. People fighting for stuff to put on their tombstone. This person was so, what a great fighter for, you know, this cause. I don't want that on my tombstone, man.
Unless it's the cause of Jesus.
And you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Hey, here's a dude that loved his family, loved his God, and tried his best to serve God with his life. I don't care what civic organizations you belong to, build God's kingdom more than that. Mm-hmm. Let's fight for that. And let's stop trying to say, but no, this group really, really upholds God. Come on. Open up your Bible. Get your eye back on the game and the ball, and that's for serving God. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, build it. Why is it so hard to find volunteers to do stuff at the church sometimes? I think it's because people are so busy building a name for themselves. Oh, my career is so important. I don't got time to do nothing else at the church. Mm. I can't serve in the children's ministry. Oh, no, I'm too busy. I'm too important. I'm building a name for myself. I'm going up the ladder, man. Mm. Come on, man. Can't mentor kids in high school, middle school. We can't find nobody to mentor the kid. Why? You saw him. What's going on?
It's the perspective, right? It's the priorities.
It's the priorities.
How are we going to order these things in our lives?
Right.
Is God at the top?
some people, no, I think we've taken her off the ball. Oh, COVID, you know, okay, I know COVID's weird. It done jacked up all our lives.
To say the least.
You know, I'm not trying to be, I'm sorry if that came across, like, because people have died. I'm just saying it's an odd, weird thing when
unprecedented.
It's unprecedented. You're trying to be faithful together, then you separate. I mean, it's odd. Right. I don't know what to say about that. But that don't mean we got to stop building for God. What if all our small groups, we care about small, what if we all just sat down and looked each other in the eye, or in the squares on the Zoom, whatever, however we do it, and just, like, what are we building in our family group? And who are we building for? And are we going to do this or not? I hope that when we look at each other in our family groups, we go, listen to what God said at that tower. If people come together, there's nothing they can't do. There's nothing they can't do. And trust me, if you want to come together and lift up the name of God and honor him, he's going to help. He's going to be with you. I hope our family group's going to ask each other. I hope I do it in my family group. You know, I'm not even leading my family group. Well, I hope my family group leader might want to choose to listen, and we'll have a discussion on this, right? I think it matters what we're building. I hope we build. And I hope we don't build for the name of North River. It's not about that.
Nope. Not about an
institution. It's not about that either, right?
No. We're part of something bigger that's by him, through him, for him. And if the Spirit of God can bring us to life out of the dust and create one humanity, if we submit to his Spirit, then he will do something.
Absolutely.
Through us. Only if we submit to him and make it about him and not about us and not about anybody.
And that's what we need. And we can learn that from the first book of the Bible.
Exactly.
You don't need a brand new teaching for that.
No, sir.
And for those of you who are Bible nerds and geeks, this whole story is reversed in Acts 2 when all the languages, no matter what they're saying, God's Spirit can make them understand, right? It's the reversal of the Tower of Babel. And it's all these different nations coming together as one, God's family, right? So that's for a sermon for another day.
Indeed.
We don't have time for that.
Right at time.
So what's God's plan after all this craziness? You know what God's plan is? After all of this violence and people building stuff and building a name for themselves, you know what God decides to do? You know what? Y'all crazy. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the most unremarkable person, old dude, take a woman, can't have no kids.
It's hard.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to build my family through them, through people that are willing to respond in faith. No matter what the culture says, no matter what the prevailing winds of change are going that particular month or season, who's going to respond with a trust and a reliance on God, even to the point of doing things that you go, this isn't even logical, but if God is my focal point, I'm doing what God says. The story of Abraham, we've read it a million times, but that's God's plan through a family to create the family of God.
Bless all the families of the earth.
All the families of the earth.
Not just one, all of them.
All of them, because to God, it's all one humanity, his family.
Amen.
So we're going to take the Lord's Supper.
Sounds good.
So if you're, you know, online and live streaming, you can go and, you know, get what you need. So I'll give you a second to do that. But I thought a passage to read before I say the prayer. To me, I thought, when you know, you remember Jesus, I'm thinking, you know, Jesus had opportunities to not do God's will in his life.
Sure.
I mean,
it was a struggle at times.
It was a struggle at times. I mean, he could have chosen to go a different direction. And so I just thought that this moment in Jesus' life, I thought, was a good one to transition from this concept of when you're tempted to go a different direction, what will you do, you know? And then in John chapter 12, Jesus says, "Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Again, not for himself. He's not
exactly.
In it for himself. "Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, 'This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself.'" He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. So let's pray for the Lord's Supper. Father, we just we pray to be humble. We're grateful to remember Jesus. We're grateful for the example that he showed us to serve you with his whole life, to be dedicated to you, and to glorify your name, not his own, to be willing to die, to give up his life for the sake of others. And we're always amazed at your response to that faithfulness, to raise him from the dead and to show us that that is how you act in this world, God, that we too can look forward to a resurrection. And Father, I pray that we remember that we are made in your image as we take this bread and drink of this cup. I pray we remember that. And I pray we remember even the people we don't like, don't agree with, are still made in your image.
That's right.
And that we need to treat them accordingly. Just like Jesus went to a cross, even though he went to the cross, even for the people that were putting him on the cross. Mm-hmm. And that is bearing your image, Father,
That's right.
in this world. May we do that, and may we proclaim that as we take the Lord's Supper this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.